Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's give it up for daylight savings, ladies and gentlemen. When you set the clocks forward an hour, you don't really create an hour, but it seems like you did. And if elected governor, I'm going to propose a daylight savings hour every month. Each month, we get more and more time, more and more time, more and more time. Rick Pearson, your thoughts, go.
No.
Okay, thank you.
I get up early enough on Sunday morning for the spin, and that's my worst Sunday ever.
Clearly, mine is the vantage point from a person who gets to sleep as long as he wants.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to get up in the morning, so while it's darker on the AM side.
So I get up normally at 3, so I ended up getting up at 2.
Is that really
not
it?
Fun.
Is that it for you?
Well, on Sunday, I get up at 3.
Oh, yeah, for the Sunday morning.
For the show.
Yeah.
And...
But on Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, what's your day like?
It's you gotta catch as catch can. Yeah. It's when the work calls.
Well, the work is calling today, Rick Pearson.
Yes, it is.
Listen, I asked Governor Rauner to come on, and maybe he will join us before 3 o'clock. I might interrupt this conversation as Secretary of State. Is he still Secretary of State?
I don't believe so.
Rex Tillerson is supposed to speak. Everybody's wondering. My first question, if I was in the press corps, is... Did you call him a moron? Come on, now you can tell us. Just come clean, baby.
The president says you'll be happier, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I told Brenda this morning. Brenda, Daisy, and Bingo are all sitting on the sofa watching the television and listening to Steve Cochran in the kitchen, and I said, you know who's happier today? Mrs. Tillerson.
Absolutely.
All of the wives.
Absolutely.
I worry so much about Mrs. Pence. I know this is hell for her. Her husband has been captured, he's like a zombie. And
he wanted it, but
she wants him. And what she has now is that thing over there that's just looking adoringly at the president. And I don't think that's a nice place for his wife to be. But I digress. So, Rick, the governor has on his desk a bill that will be Illinois' answer to the problem of gun violence in the schools.
This is one bill out of a series of bills. There are others that are still pending in the legislature.
So I understand it. And it's really just addressing one issue.
Right.
Correct?
This would be gun dealer licensing by the state.
Right. So that it would be more difficult to do it at gun shows? Is that it?
Well, this is purely aimed to instill some training and to have people recognize the potential of straw purchases, which everybody recognizes, I think, is the biggest problem when it comes to illegal guns.
Okay, so this bill, it's about licensing at gun shows?
Gun dealers.
Well, gun dealers and stores are licensed anyway, aren't they?
They pay $100 for a five-year license from the federal government.
Really? That's it?
And all the federal government does is background check.
And then are these linked? Like, if I buy a gun at a store in Illinois, does it automatically go to a database to see who I am and what my record is and stuff like that?
It should go into a database.
Go into a database.
Yes, but there are flaws on a federal level. We've seen that there are flaws in the federal database.
What I'm wondering is, when I make the purchase, maybe you don't know the answer, but as I'm trying to make the purchase, would it automatically flag me as somebody who shouldn't buy the gun and keep that sale from happening?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay, that's too bad. So if we can do something along those lines, let's do it. And a bill along those lines, however minimal.
I mean, we have this other legislation, for example, that's pending, would have a waiting period. It would raise the age to purchase firearms.
Well, if I may read from the Chicago Tribune a few weeks ago, under the proposed rules for gun retailers, mm-hmm. anyone who sells, leases, or transfers firearms would be licensed by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, a cost that would be limited to $1,000 every 5 years. Dealers and their employees would have to take training to make sure they know how to properly conduct background checks, store guns, prevent thefts, thwart straw purchases, as you said, in which someone buys a gun on behalf of someone else who's barred from doing so. So there's that. But this legislation isn't about bump stocks.
No.
It isn't about...
That's pending.
...raising the age to 21.
That's pending.
It's not about arming teachers or not arming teachers or training
Nothing
teachers.
Nothing about teachers, no. There is no legislation for that.
And the governor's frustration with this is that it's limited then. It's not as comprehensive a bill as he wants.
No, his frustration is he believes it's duplicative, that it's anti-business.
And that this bill on his desk is anti-business?
Correct. Because it creates new regulatory...
Well, sure, but you're not selling candy bars. You're selling flipping guns here.
Well, he's trying to navigate a very fine line here.
Why does he then address this before the election? I know the cowardly way would be to wait, but I mean, that would also be the safer way to go.
Well, when you look at downstate, which makes up about half of the Republican primary vote, and obviously the cultural differences on guns are vast in this state, this is a governor in search of a Republican base.
Okay, so the question for you then is, how does this play in the state? Answer that in a minute. Rex Tillerson is speaking.
To address challenges of sexual harassment within the department. I want to speak now to my State Department colleagues and to our interagency colleagues and partners at DOD and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, most particularly. To my Foreign Service officers and civil service colleagues, we all took the same oath of office. Whether you're a career, employee, or political appointee, we are all bound by that common commitment to support and defend the Constitution, to bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and to faithfully discharge the duties of our office.
This is live. Outgoing Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is addressing the country, his staff particularly right now. On his way out, the rule is that he was fired, right? He did not step down but was terminated by the president?
He was terminated by Twitter.
And he says he will. His service ends at midnight tonight.
The world needs selfless leaders like these, ready to work with longstanding allies.
But this has been a long, slow fire. I mean, it's maybe in some ways amazing he lasted as long as he did, right?
And on a number of fronts. And truly, the talk every week was, is this going to be the last one for Tillerson?
Well, the president acting unilaterally on North Korea had to be the straw. I mean, if there wasn't a straw, that's the telephone pole that would break any camel's back. You are irrelevant if the Donald Trump is going to do what he's doing about North Korea.
And that you make this decision on your own without consulting State Department and other allies, quite frankly.
The men and women in uniform, I'm told for the first time in most people's memory, the Department of State and Department of Defense have a close working relationship where we all agree the U.S. leadership starts with diplomacy. The men and women in uniform at the Department of Defense, under the leadership of Secretary Mattis and General Dunford, protect us as Americans and our way of life daily, at home and abroad. As an all-volunteer military, they do it for love of country, they do it for you, and they do it for me, and for no other reason. As Americans, we are all eternally grateful to each of them, and we honor their sacrifices. The rewarding part of having leadership and partnerships in place is that you can actually get some things done. And I want to give recognition to the State Department and our partners for a few of their accomplishments under this administration. First, working with allies, we exceeded the
expectations. Is he going to push back? Is he going to criticize the president?
I don't think so.
Not now, eventually?
Eventually, maybe. But I don't think today is that day where he does that.
Maybe not so, because he's a diplomat or is an outgoing diplomat. But, I mean, come on. He's got to be frustrated, right?
Oh, extremely. I mean,
and humiliated in a way.
Well, and you look at a couple of things. One, there was Trump wanted basically to blow up the agreement with Iran over the nuclear agreement that Obama did. Tillerson pushed back on that and said, let's work with the other five countries that are part of this, and let's look for ways to improve it. Trump just wanted it over, wanted a much stronger set of sanctions, those kinds of things. Tillerson fought back on that. You mentioned North Korea. I mean, here you have a president who I think revels in the history of the fact that he would be the first U.S. president to sit down with the dictator of North Korea. Doesn't matter what he says. It's just for that he will go down in history.
As being the first.
As the first.
As though first at anything is a good thing, maybe first at that is not a good thing. Maybe there's a reason you're the first.
Well, and in fact, Tillerson said over the weekend that there's a difference between a meeting and negotiations. And he was trying to parse that just because they're going to meet doesn't mean there's negotiations. That, I think, also irritated the president.
I'm on the record as saying the meeting doesn't happen. What do you say?
You know, I'd say flip a coin. I mean, 50-50.
Bertrand, meeting happens, yes or no? Trump and Kim Jong-un, go.
No. I thought at the first it would, but now I'm thinking it probably won't.
No one's heard from the North Koreans directly.
Now that you mention it.
Would they have to be there?
Someone in North Korea went, wait, he said, what? Are you kidding me? Like that? Are you serious? Really? Well, now what are we going to do? Be careful what you ask for, North Korea. He'll show up.
Right.
He'll show up and he'll do a deal with you.
Well.
And then the problem is, does Lucy pull the football away?
Right. Or do we trust Trump to make a deal on something of this nature?
Russia must assess carefully as to how its actions are in the best interest of the Russian people and of the world more broadly. Continuing on their current trajectory is likely to lead to greater isolation on their part, a situation which is not in anyone's interest. So to my colleagues in the State Department and the interagency, much remains to be done to achieve our mission on behalf of the American people, with allies and with partners. I close by thanking all for the privilege of serving beside you for the last 14 months. Importantly, to the 300-plus million Americans, thank you for your devotion to a free and open society, to acts of kindness towards one another, to honesty and the quiet hard work that you do every day to support this government with your tax dollars. All of us, we know, want to leave this place as a better place for the next generation. I'll now return to private life as a private citizen, as a proud American, proud of the opportunity I've had to serve my country. God bless all of you. God bless the American people. God bless America.
Mr. Secretary, can you say what the future of Iran will be?
The secretary walking away now and not taking questions from the reporters. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Stevie. I wondered if you would.
Did not directly thank the president for the opportunity.
I noticed that, too. Yeah. 14 months, though. That makes him one of the longest-serving members.
You know, I've got to go out and buy a bigger whiteboard for all the names of the departing of this administration.
Yeah. How's history going to... Boy, this is a stupid question to ask. He's still the Secretary of State. But, I mean, I've always thought Rex Tillerson seemed to be doing good work or trying to do the good work.
Well, in this administration, he was looked at among those who view as the adults in the room. That having been said, over at State Department, a number of vacancies, a vast number of vacancies still exist. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about North Korea.
We don't have a South Korean.
Correct. We don't have anybody to do represent the United States with South Korea. The talk inside the State Department is that he brought a mindset of really wanting to downsize it and blow the place up. And so
that was Trump or that was Tillerson?
Tillerson. And that there are, I think there's one of those things where there's a sigh of relief that he's leaving within elements of the State Department. But with Mike Pompeo, they're not so sure what you're going to get because he does have a very hawkish background.
Pompeo does. You know, I was just reading, I'm on the last five pages, literally, of Fire and Fury. And at the very end of the book, they talk about how Tillerson is on his way out. And this is a book written in October.
Well, and frankly, that was almost like a weekly question.
Right. Okay. But then,
and if it's not Tillerson, then it's Mattis, it's Kelly.
The book, though, they said that Trump was grooming Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador, for something like this. Obviously, they went with Pompeo instead. But I wonder what her fortune is in this administration.
I think her stock is still pretty good in this.
Yeah.
I think Pompeo turned out to be somebody that Trump was able to relate to better than he had imagined.
Well, he didn't like the president. Everybody knew that. You do believe, or I don't know. What do you think, Rick? Do you think he called him a name in private
that Tillerson
got reported
did?
In public? Yeah.
Sure.
And do you think that reflected his view of the president as well?
Well, I mean, on the tarmac today, you know, you had the president was asked, you know, is it because he called you a moron?
And really?
Trump goes, say it again. And then he goes, because he called you a moron. He goes, say it again. And then that was the end of the conversation.
What was the purpose of that?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the feelings between Tillerson and the president were not very good.
So the president was forcing the reporter to repeat the accusation that, of course, gets you fired. The reporter was answering his own question,
correct.
Essentially.
Correct. Yeah. Rhetorical. Question.
It's 1:22. Rick Pearson's in the studio from the Chicago Tribune, the political reporter. I asked him to come in and talk a little bit about the gun bill in Illinois. Chicago Tribune political reporter and WGN radio host Rick Pearson is in our studio. So the governor, Rick, now I've got just a couple minutes left. We listened to Rex Tillerson for a while. But so the governor is going to sign or not sign?
He's going to veto.
He has signed it. Mayor Emanuel is reacting now. If you want to drop in on that for a minute, I'm not sure. I don't mean to take all of Rick's time.
Go ahead, Steve. And the governor today pulled the rug from underneath them. This is wrong on every level. As somebody who worked for President Clinton in passing the Brady Bill, the 5-day waiting period, 4 months later, the assault weapon ban. And I knew what it was right, and I saw when the first vote on the assault weapon ban, it only passed by one vote. And a lot of people took risks because they knew in the end of the day it was the right thing to do.
Help me out here, Steve Bertrand. So what's Mayor Rahm Emanuel's point about the governor's decision?
He's talking about the governor for political reasons, he says, and Rick knows very well he's facing a primary from the right a week from today, vetoed this bill, and the mayor started with the example of a hairdresser and a barber, I think, was another one. He said these people need to be licensed by the state of Illinois, but the governor says gun dealers don't.
And that has been the argument for this legislation.
Okay, and his point is he wants to work with the other side, quote unquote, to have something more comprehensive.
Well, I will just remind you, he uses terms like comprehensive and let's have a conversation about this. He said that after Las Vegas. Would not talk about specific legislation. We should have a conversation. Today, apparently, he's talking about the fact that he wants to have leaders of the various caucuses to finally sit down. I remind you that that's what he said after Las Vegas.
Here it is, John. When these politicians say they want to study something, you know, and this is whether it's a Republican governor, Democratic president, or whatever. All right, put your plan out there. You want a comprehensive plan? Show me what yours is, and let's go. And if you don't do that, if you just say, I want to talk about it, what you're really saying is, I don't want to talk about
it. Well, and this is the way he has been on virtually every issue that has a federal impact on Illinois, that he says, it's not my obligation to talk about every little thing that's going on in Washington. So he wouldn't talk about changing tax policy, wouldn't talk about repeal of the Affordable Care Act, says that's not his job. The question is, you are leading the state of Illinois. And I think there's a valid question here that when you're the leader, it's your job to say how you believe things impact the state and how you would like the state to be.
So the governor's not put forward his own gun bill,
no,
per se?
No, he wants a comprehensive solution.
Well, I know
but
that.
He won't define what comprehensive means. Yeah.
Well, maybe Jeannie Ives is just painting him into a corner he doesn't like here, right?
Well, but see, here's the thing. So he signs the bill to expand abortion rights, which that got Jeannie Ives into the race, has alienated social conservatives.
So that young woman could be in the TV commercial saying, thank you, Governor, for paying for my abortions.
Correct. So, but now here's a governor struggling for a base. Social conservatives are angry. His signature on that abortion rights bill could have helped him with suburban moderate women who are a key voting bloc in Republican votes and statewide votes. Now he vetoes a high attention gun bill, which suburban moderate women, I would argue, would be the ones in support of that legislation.
That's such an easy one to sign.
He's trying to find a lane.
But, Rick, he could have punted on this until after the primary, right, and signed it or not signed it then.
And
so my question is, does that mean he really is afraid of Jeannie Ives, that he needed to do this before people went to the polls?
Or let's give the man the courage of his convictions. He didn't duck. He put his made a decision.
He ducked yesterday in Chicago when asked about it.
I know
and
that.
Announced his decision on a Southern Illinois radio station today.
I want you to answer my question.
I agree, Steve. I agree.
You think he's afraid? You think he really thinks he could be by Gene?
I don't know about being beat. I think he's very concerned, and I think there's something that he must have seen in the polling for the same reason that he switched off from attacking J.B. Pritzker into attacking Jeannie Ives.
Rick Pearson writes about politics for the Chicago Tribune and does a Sunday radio show at
7 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Sunday Spin.
On WGN Radio. So this is now in Steve Bertrand's news slot, but I think it's appropriate that you joined us this long. Rick, thanks for coming by.
Sure, thank you. Well, sorry, Steve. I try to hit my clock on time.
No, it's news. It's all news.
It's all going to come your way next on WGN.